Welcome to the Anthropology Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Walker. As a former naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I align the intersection of personal performance, purpose, and innovative thinking in badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. Anthropology is the study and science of what makes an entrepreneur think, feel, and perform in a path compelled by a vision for helping others, solving problems, while building a life on your own terms. Together, we are exploring the health, mindset, and strategies that distinguish the world's best entrepreneurs. This is the Anthropology Podcast. Welcome to episode 216 of the Anthropology Podcast. I am obviously your host, Dr. Megan Walker, and I want to talk about something today that I have been observing and that I am passionate about and that we need to just break open and throw on the table. And those are the attributes of an effective CEO. And I want to be really clear, when I talk about the attributes of an effective CEO, I am not talking about what someone else has published in a book. I'm talking about the attributes that I most recognize as being valuable in a CEO. As I read books and I listen to podcasts and I watch how other people choose to lead, what I've realized is that there are some common elements that I am routinely drawn into that that I want to acknowledge as I observe other people's leadership. And frankly, I think that there are probably a top 10, and that's what we're going to break down, top 10 things that people need to pay attention to when they are in a leadership role within their business or within their workplace. And I refer to these collectively as CEO attributes. I also have the pleasure of working with so many different practitioners. We have a program called the Clinician CEO. And what I also find remarkable and so interesting are those individuals who really are driving their businesses forward in an effective way, who are unapologetic about the impact and influence that they are having. I'm deeply curious about the mindset attributes that differentiate them as well. What makes them strong, effective CEOs and leaders in their businesses? So I want to be really clear that if you are on a mission to do good work in the world, it actually doesn't matter whether you are an employee or you are an entrepreneur. I am talking to you. I am talking to the leaders. But in particular, if you are an entrepreneur running your own company, there is an eye towards certain things that I have found really do facilitate and enable you to be more successful in an expedited manner. And we are going to break those attributes down right now, starting with number. I was going to count down from 10, but then I realized I numbered them up from one, and we are going to have like a total math catastrophe around item number 6. So we're going to count up to number 10 as opposed to counting down. But the very first thing on my list of CEO attributes is this idea of moving away from a model where you are selling time and you start to sell your strategy. If even if you own your own business, even if you self-identify as an entrepreneur, if you are in a model where you are selling your time for money, you actually just own the company that employs you yourself. You are in a job. Until we start to leverage you in other ways, if you want to go on vacation, your flow of income stops. If you want to get busy with another project, your flow of income stops. When you trade your time for money, you sit in a highly unleveraged place. It's also known as being employed. You just happen to be employed by yourself. So all of the awesome benefits that come along with being an entrepreneur and having this creativity, those are often interrupted when we are continuing to invest in a business where you are only selling your time for money. One of the things I recognize in terms of these CEO attributes is a clear desire on the part of that CEO to have additional offerings and to grow out of this idea of selling your time for money. We often talk about this notion of be irreplaceable, be so unique. I want you to be so unique and irreplaceable when we're talking about Instagram content. I want you to be replaceable when it comes to how you are leading your business, or certainly around how you are leading your ideas and your strategies. We want other people to be able to step into your role so that you are able to continue to drive your business forward. CEO attribute number one, stop selling your time. Start packaging and selling your strategy so you can move out of being employed by yourself. CEO attribute number two focuses on an idea I call self-authorization. And here's the idea here. Becoming a CEO is a choice only you can make. Choosing to invest in yourself as that CEO is a choice only you can make. You can certainly seek advisement from others. But one of the things that I have observed as a clear point of differentiation, and frankly, if we look at any of these 10 items that we're going to discuss, I actually think this is the most important. When we grow up, as we are growing, our parents, or in some cases not our parents, but it's often our parents, they are the authority figure in our lives. Maybe it's a principal, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a coach, but there is an adult who is an authority figure. And unless we make a conscious decision to transfer that authority as we get older, one of the default things that tends to happen, and I see happen over and over again when people are stuck, is they have transferred that authority from their parents or from their teacher or from their coach to their partners in life. That could be a group of girlfriends. That could be your spouse. That could be a business partner. There's this real transfer of responsibility. And I have no problem with this notion of shared responsibility, but I want everyone to check in around this idea of whether or not you have transferred responsibility or authority to other people. I used to see this happen in my practice with patients who would come in. We talk about what it is that we could offer, and they say, great, this is so lovely. It sounds amazing. That's exactly what I need. Let me just go home and talk to my husband about it, and then I'll give you a ring. I understand that sometimes there's conversations that need to happen with respect to money, but I want you to make a really clear distinction as to whether or not you're having to have a conversation about money or whether you're actually having to have a conversation around this notion of self-authorization. I think it is really important as a CEO, and in particular as a female CEO, that you become self-authorized in your own life to make important decisions on your own. Really recognize and differentiate when you are seeking advisement and counsel from people whose perspectives you would like to listen to versus handing them the opportunity to make that decision for you. One of the key pieces that I've watched as people are moving forward in their states as a CEO or as a leader, one of the attributes they have in common is this capacity to engage in self-authorization. They make a decision if they're going to buy a program. They make the decision as to whether or not they want to work with that particular healthcare practitioner. They make a decision as to whether or not they want to acquire a new company. They're making big decisions, and they aren't seeking permission from anyone else for that to happen. I want everyone to check in around this notion of self-authorization. Are you seeking advisement, or are you seeking permission from those people around you? It's not semantics. It's not the same thing. I want you to check in on this idea of self-authorization. It is a key and critical step of leadership moving forward. CEO attribute or mindset number three is a recognition that time, not money, is your most limited and precious resource. We had this belief when we were young, when we were coming out of school, and we had no money and we felt like we had all of this time, that money was our most precious commodity. And we were willing early on in our lives to trade time in order to advance access to money. But the truth is, as opposed to the perception, the truth is money is something that can come and go. We can build more of it. Time doesn't work the same way. It feels like we have all the time in the world early on in our lives, early on in our careers, but the truth is that time is our most limited and precious resources. And the most effective CEOs treat time in that manner. They don't act like they have all the time in the world to move their business or their contribution forward. They look at taking action right now. And they recognize money for what it is, a tool to be able to expedite that process. Your relationship with time and money are critical. And in some cases, it means we have to go back to step number one, where we are no longer selling our time for money. But as soon as we recognize that, as soon as we recognize that time is our most limited resource, that nothing can change that, it changes everything about how we're going to structure our business and how we're going to lead. CEO attribute number four, know your numbers, even the uncomfortable ones. Knowing your numbers and understanding the metrics behind your business and behind your life truly matter. I know one of the symptoms of having challenges with respect to money mindset is that we don't quite look at that bank account. You know, we talk about things like money's not that important to me. My impact is what is important to me. Knowing our numbers is not just about money. But when we don't want to lean into our numbers, when we have reservations around it, when we have a dialogue, when we have an excuse for not looking at those numbers, that's often where we know where we need to go with respect to our mindset. But just like it is imperative as a clinician for me to be able to look at testing results to know what is going to inform my next action, the same is true when it comes to our businesses. It's critical that we have an understanding of our metrics, of those elements that are important. And I'm going to list those off really, really quickly. I'm going to do a whole other podcast just around metrics that matter. But here are some of the key things you need to understand as your CEO. You need to be able to look at your financials. And in the very least, you need to have an understanding of your revenue and your expense. You need to know what is left over. You need to understand your profitability, but know what your revenue looks like. Know what your expenses look like. As you're growing your audience, you need to understand your leads. How many leads do you have coming into your business? How big is your mailing list? Your mailing list is that community that is probably going to drive leads into your business. You need to know how many new clients you have acquired. A lead gets converted into a new client. We want to know how effective you are at that conversion piece. We need those two pieces of math. Once you've acquired that client, we need to understand what retention looks like. Everyone's focused on growing their business, but how do you keep the customers that you've already acquired? What do your retention numbers look like? How many people have you retained and how long are they staying with you? And finally, and I would argue most importantly, how are you spending your time? What is the opportunity cost of your time? We can talk all sorts of strategies for optimizing revenue and optimizing growth and optimizing your health. But where I find we are leaky across the board is with respect to how we spend our time. If you're going to grow in your business, if you're going to grow in your health, if you're going to facilitate and have space and room to grow your mindset, you need to be aware of how you spend your time. All of these pieces will inform what I'm talking about when I say you need to know your numbers. CEO mindset attribute number five is this idea of investing in you as the CEO of your mission. So there are going to be a time and place where you need to invest in your business. But I want you to start to view you as the CEO as a separate entity from your business. And I want you to be really clear on where you need to invest as a CEO. Is it the acquisition of a new skill? Is it the acquisition of a new mindset? Or is it the acquisition of a new state of health? For you as the CEO, you play this incredibly critical role in the growth and perpetuation of your business. And at any given time, you may need to invest in all three or just one of those particular areas. But when I talk about entrepreneurship and anthropology, I'm talking about the intersection of mindset, of entrepreneurial mechanics, and of health. And at any given time, the leaders of those businesses are either investing in all three or one of these areas because it's the piece that's going to inform the greatest degree of growth. Get used to this idea that as the leader in the business, in addition to your business needing investment, you are going to need investment, and it's likely coming in one of those three areas. CEO attribute number six. You can see this is where it would have gotten messy if we were counting down. I know it would have been four, but I'm just saying we're counting up. Number six, clarity of vision. I was recording a podcast earlier today with my friend Uriel Kame, and he asked me, what is the secret sauce for staying focused? And I said, For me, it is around having clarity of vision. And for clarity of vision, when I want to get a quick snapshot of where someone is at in their business, or frankly, where they want to go with respect to their health, I ask two questions because it will inform the entire conversation. I say, what is your impact goal? Meaning, how many people do you want to influence and in what capacity? What does that look like for you? And the second thing I ask is, what is your income goal? Because for us to grow a business and for us to know where we need to take action, we absolutely need clarity on those two elements. Where do we want to have impact, and what income are we chasing? And just as an aside, if you're one of those people who's in such a fortunate situation where the income is less important, I want you to understand that as a mechanism of impact, your business requires that you as a leader still nail down what a revenue goal looks like. Even if half that revenue can be given away to charity, it's important that you understand what type of revenue you need in your business, not just to sustain yourself, but also to grow. No one is exempt from acknowledging the impact and the income goal that informs their vision as the CEO of their business. CEO attribute number 7 is such a simple way of looking at the world and looking at life, but it is a matter of saying yes and versus yeah, but. And I was in a coaching program a few years ago, and they asked me why I didn't renew. And I got a lot of great value from the content. I got a lot of great value from the people who are leading it. But I said my biggest frustration was actually the other participants. It wasn't their ego. It wasn't the nature of their business. It wasn't that I didn't feel they were relevant. It's that there were too many people in the room who were focused on putting their hand up so they could be the person who would say, yeah, but I love this new tool you gave us, but it's not going to work for me because of this. The yeah, but energy, it's the easiest energy to project into the room. It requires no sophistication of thought to put up your hand and say, here's why I think that's not going to work. It requires a tremendous amount of courage and intelligent maneuvering of the conversation to look at a particular entity on the table and say, I like this idea, and here's how we could improve it, and here's how we could incorporate it, and here's who I'm going to introduce you to because of what it is that you're putting into the world. Be very mindful as a leader to be a leader who can focus on saying yes and versus yeah, but. It's an entirely different energy that you are going to bring into the room, both as a leader in your business, but also in the broader community in which you engage. CEO attribute number 8. It's important to acknowledge that your growth is no longer going to be dependent on what you do, but who can do it for you. You reach a point in your growth of your business and of your life where you really can't take on another thing. I feel like I'm like oozing that right now in my own life. I'm like, I just don't have space for one more thing. But the beautiful thing about this is, as your business grows, it's not about how many more things can you take on. And it really needs to be something that causes you to pause. In my own life, as I'm looking at opportunity, I'm like, I don't have room for it. Part of that means me needing to step back and go, not what more thing do I need to do, but who do I need to start to delegate things towards, so that I can move into a state of new opportunity. And yes, there's always going to be a time and place with respect to our kids or where we are at with other commitments in life where we can't take on more, or we may choose not to take on more. But I want you to know that one of the limiting beliefs that I see in leaders in the early stage of their business, they're concerned that if they continue to grow, what they're also going to continue to do is grow the amount of work that they have to do. And if you are sufficiently and strategically leveraging your business, you should not be taking on more work as you grow. What you should be doing, however, is investing in expanding your network so that you can easily and readily ask, who is going to help me move to this next stage? Who can I delegate this task to? Who can I delegate an old set of tasks to so we can move into that next state of our evolution? Who do I need, not what do I need to be doing? CEO attribute number 9, fresh off of who's going to do the work, not what do I need to be taking on, is this idea of boundaries. It is actually possible to have really great boundaries around work and life balance without people thinking that you are a bitch, without people thinking that you are rude, without people thinking that you are not willing or able to help. One of the most important lessons you're going to be able to solidify in your life is having effective boundaries that protect you and your family and your time and your most precious resources, and articulating those in a manner that comes across as compassionate and respectful to both of you. This is an art that if you don't feel comfortable with, I'm going to encourage you to practice. Because as you grow your business, whether you have a B2B business, a B2C, as you become a stronger and more prominent leader in your world, you're going to have more and more people who are asking for pieces of you, who are going to want a little favor, who just want 5 minutes of your time. As you grow in what you're doing, your time is going to be something more and more people want pieces of, and you're going to grow increasingly frustrated by that. The only remedy to keep that from being something that does start to consume you, that does start to irritate you, is to be really clear and mindful of the boundaries that you need to have in place and articulating those in a compassionate manner and holding true to those boundaries once you have laid them on the table. It is an absolute imperative skill to drive your further growth as a CEO. The last attribute of an effective CEO, number 10, is the idea of stepping forward from a place of courage, not bravado. Bravado pushes people away. Bravado is loud. Bravado is false confidence. Bravado is the opposite of vulnerability. Courage and courageous leadership is this beautiful thing, because although you are stepping into the ring, although you are confronting the lion, you are not pushing people away in the process. You are just as committed to being honest around your vulnerability in that state of courage as you are about your eventual state of confidence as a result. I talk about this a lot, that courage is the currency of confidence, that confidence is the product of engaging in courageous activity enough that you become competent in that activity, which naturally leads to confidence. CEO attribute number 10 is the willingness to take consistent, courageous action. Because when you do courageous action over and over again, you realize you don't always get the result you are looking for, but you always get the lesson, you always get the learning, and you always move one step closer to that state of confidence. And that state of confidence is something that drives all of these pieces forward in an expedited and more peaceful manner. So I wanted to get these pieces off my chest. We worked with so many new CEOs, and I've been watching CEOs with a heightened level of attention over the last little while. And these are the 10 most resounding attributes that have been obvious to me and that have come my way. I would love to hear from you what you feel are the most effective attributes of a CEO. I'd love for you to join me on Instagram to further this conversation. I'm excited to have you here. We also have some incredible upcoming episodes. I am talking to my friend Uriel Kaim. I want you to think of our episode coming up in the next 2 weeks as like business biohacking. What are some of the key mindset pieces that we need to grow our business? What are the key tactics that entrepreneurs should be thinking about as they're growing their business in 2021? And I've also got coming up Dr. Kirsty Griffiths. And Dr. Kirsty is going to be talking about the mindset and the intersection of the mind body as it pertains to chronic pain. So many exciting things on tap for the Anthropology Podcast. Between now and then, I would love for you to join me on Instagram. And until I see you again next week, I am Dr. Megan Walker. Have an amazing next 7 days.